thank you for the work that you're doing here, Father, in meeting us. I pray, God, that you would anoint Dale with the message that he has for us. And I pray we could open our hearts and our ears to hear what he has to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank you, Matt and Will, for leading us as well. Am I on? One, two, all right. For leading that and recognizing the goodness of God. There's just, we can't say it enough of the goodness of God, because God is so good. And even in our circumstances, it doesn't change who God is. Put this up. The only thing for evil to prevail in society is for good men to stand by and do nothing. And I read that quote probably about 6 weeks ago, and that put me on this journey of coming to this point of understanding, where are the men? And I'm going to talk this morning about being a man after God's own heart. Not just a man, but a man after God's own heart. Not a child after God's own heart, a man. And so we're going to look at some of those things this morning. Not just a man after God, because we're going to look at the story of David this morning too. David was not just a man after God. And I think it's unfortunate when we look at some of these books and stuff that are out there, you know, pursuing God. And I'm not saying that's all wrong, but that's not complete. David was not just a man after God. He was a man after God's own heart. There's a difference. When you pursue somebody or when you pursue their heart. David pursued God's heart. He was a man after God's own. What is God's heart? Do you know God's heart? Did David know God's heart? How did he know God's heart? But David pursued that. The default of men. This was another quote that I saw. I don't know who said this, but it said, the default of men is passivity. And I think a lot of us probably can relate to that. If we don't want to fight, we don't want to do, we don't want to build, we don't want to work, our default is just the easiest, just not to do anything, just to be passive. But that does not create a culture of men. Does not create a culture of manhood. Passivity will not get you to becoming a man. Satan is good at what he does. I think we can recognize that. He's very strategic. And I'm looking at the culture right now and even in the last little while of how strategic he is at taking out men. And it's disturbing to me. But he recognizes the importance of men. You take out man, you take out the leaders, you take out the protectors, you take out the providers, you take out the fathers if you do that. When you take out the men, you take out husbands. When you take out men, you take out the next generation. And it's happening, but it doesn't have to happen to us. Not only is one of I believe not only is one of Satan's strategic plan in taking out men, if he doesn't take out the men, he's also okay with keeping children as children and not allowing them to become men. People that were born to become men were born as children. And Steve brought out the point in Sunday school about the four different things that Scripture talks about. You used child, babies, little children, child, and adults. Or I'm going to use the word men in this case right now. If Satan can keep you being as a little child, he's okay with that as well. First Corinthians 13:11. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And I'm going to look at something here in 1 Corinthians. This is Paul. We were talking about Paul this morning. We were talking about Paul's confidence. we were talking about Paul's boldness. And 1 Corinthians 13, this is the love chapter. So Paul is, you know, throwing out how important love is. And the things in you know, the beginning of the chapter, you can have prophecy, you can understand all mysteries, you can have all knowledge, you can even be burned, but if you don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. Then in verse 11, look at what he says. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Notice the two whens in that verse. There's two whens there. When I was a child, and then when I became a man. So when I look at this verse, I'm looking at Paul, and I'm saying, you know what? Paul recognized this, that this was not just something small that he did there, that he did when he made this choice to go from a child to becoming a man. I think it was a big deal for Paul's life. He recognized he was a child. When he was a child, he thought like a child, he talked like a child, but then he became a man. What is a man? Not only did he become a man and do the things of a man, but he also put away his childish things. So we're going to look at that some this morning. Another passage I thought was very interesting in Ephesians. Again, this is Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul is talking about the unity of the body, till you all come in unity. That should be a goal for believers, to come in unity. And in verse 14, he brings in this. He says, that you henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every weight of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Or the NIV says, they be no longer infants. And it's interesting to me when he says this, he says, he's not saying the men are being tossed about to and fro. No, it's the children. So what we're going to look at this morning is for us to go from children and become men. I'm not going to read much in the Old Testament, but let's just look at the Israelites, for example. And the Israelites in the wilderness, when they were in the wilderness, what did they have? They were in the wilderness, they had tents, that's about it. Maybe not a whole lot other than that. They didn't own anything, they didn't acquire anything. They didn't have any battles, so therefore they didn't conquer anything. So basically, they were just existing. And then they get into the promised land. And it was a complete different picture. When they got to the promised land, they had some stability. They started building houses instead of, I'm going to say, disposable tents. I don't know what their tents look like. They started rising up and confronting their enemies. They started conquering their enemies. They started taking over territory. They started winning battles. This was after they were in the promised land. These are a lot of the same people that experienced the desert and also experienced the promised land. And so I'm looking at this. There was one thing in between there that they needed to cross in order to get to the promised land. What was it? The Jordan River. When they had the opportunity to cross the Jordan River, if they would have decided not to cross the Jordan River, would have they entered the promised land? No. See, the Jordan River here, I think, is very important. They needed to go through the Jordan River to get to the promised land. We have Jordan Rivers. Sometimes we give up and turn around. But I'm encouraging us this morning. Good question. What is a Jordan River? For me, when I think, and I'm glad you asked that, Steve. I'll break that down a little bit. For me, when I'm talking about Jordan River, I'm talking about difficulties. I'm talking about tests. I'm talking about circumstances that God brings into our lives that take us from being a child to becoming a man. The tests that we need to pass. Can we opt out of them? Yes, I think we can. When God allows some things into our lives that are there for our growth and are there to make us become better, we have the choice to say, no, we're not going to go through that. So we can turn around and walk out of the Jordan River, or we can say, you know what? I'm going to walk through the Jordan River. Because I know who's leading me, I know who's guiding me. Who led them through the Jordan River? God did. God did. And so as a person committed to Christ, who is leading you? Christ. And so when there's a Jordan River, when there's something difficult, let's press through it. There is peace, there is strength in Jordan Rivers that will not be experienced otherwise. And I can testify to that, especially with my journey in the last 6 weeks with Damien. To me, that's a Jordan River. Am I still through it? I don't think so, but there's so much I'm learning in that. So much depth, so much peace, so much more of God that I'm learning through that. Can I choose to just completely put it out of my mind and try to not work through it? Yes, I can. But I'm choosing not to. And thank God, I'm in. What do you want to teach me? What do you want me to learn from this? How can I become a better man? I'm learning to walk through the Jordan River, specifically that. So they crossed the Jordan River. And they obviously experienced change. After they got to the Jordan side, there was no more wilderness. I think that's where their passion rose, their purpose rose, and their zeal, their drive. I think all that stuff started rising after the Jordan River. I think that's how it works for us. Crossing the Jordan River was very essential for them to becoming, to enter into the promised land. Mark 4:35 is another story. There's only several verses there, but we're going to look at that a little bit. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. I'm just going to read 35 to the end of the chapter. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking. He said, let's pass over to the other side. When they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and that it was now full. And he was in the back part of the boat, asleep on the pillow. And so they woke him up, and they said, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? Jesus got up, he rebuked the wind, and he said unto them, peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why were you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obeyed him? I see this as fitting right in here as well. It was Jesus' idea to say, let's go to the other side. Let's get in the boat. Let's go to the other side. So they got into the boat, and on their way to the other side, they ran into a storm. Looking at going from children to becoming men, going to the other side, there's going to be a storm. It's not going to be a smooth sail across there. We have an enemy. Satan is not okay with this. He's going to try to rain on your parade. He's not just going to allow men to become men because he realizes what man can do. And so I look at this story, and I think this is reality. When you choose to go to the other side, there's going to be a storm. Now again, they could have gotten that boat. They could have went back to where they came from and said, this is too difficult. I don't want a storm. This hurts. But they went to the other side. So I want to encourage you this morning, the storm that you're in, don't turn around. You need to keep pursuing. You need to keep pursuing. And so we're going to look at another guy. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. So we're looking at this whole idea of what Paul said. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, but then I became a man. And so I want us to leave here this morning not just challenged and not just changed and not just a desire to become a man, but being willing to be changed to become men is why I go. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it talks about David. Actually, I'll just quick read that. Acts chapter 13, verse 22 says this. We're going to look at David's life here in a little bit. Verse 22. Sorry. I thought it was Acts. Okay, yeah, no, there it is. Verse 22 says this. After removing Saul, he made David their king, and he testified concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And so we're going to look at David. David was a man after God's own heart. David had courage. David had strength. David was a warrior. David never lost a battle. That's a warrior. But yet David was also a poet. David wrote lots of scripture. David also knew what it was to connect with God. And so I see two things in David. I see this lion part, but I also see this lamb part. And both are important. There is some points in our lives where we need to rise up and be lions. And conquer. But there's also times where we need to be a lamb. And David displayed this very well. And I'm talking about a lamb of just sitting at the feet of God and just connecting with God. I'm not a songwriter. David was a songwriter. But I see that as a lamb side of David. So again, David was not just a man after God. He was a man after God's own heart. And I want us to get that and start pursuing not just God, but start pursuing his heart. Do you know what his heart is? David was human. I mean, we look at David's life and I'm like, oh yeah, David, you know, he was king and, you know, all this great stuff happened to him. But yet, looking at David was a runt of the family. David did not have a very good home life. He was forgotten. I'm guessing he was talked about. He certainly wasn't encouraged growing up, being a youngest brother. He was left down. David was hurt. But yet he still became a man after God's own heart. And so none of us are exempt from becoming men or women after God's own heart. Doesn't matter who we are or where we're at. We can become that. Because if David could, we can as well. David sang a lot. Here's one of the key things that I see in David's life. Is David was tuned into the heart of God. I believe the being after God's own heart was something that David kept doing and kept doing and kept doing repeatedly was pursued God's heart. He was so in tune with God's heart. Not only was he in tune with God's heart, in Psalms 139:14, David says this, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, this is a man saying this, okay? How many of us men said, you know what? I am fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. I'm a man. How many of you said that? David did. David recognized who he was in Christ. He was fearfully and he was wonderfully made. Men, I think we can say that. I think we need to say that. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're men. And when you start working out of that versus passive, meek, humble, loser mentality, there's a difference. It's okay for us as men to celebrate our masculinity. I think that's what David was doing. And I look at that and I see the leader that he was. I think we need more of this. Is there any reason boys don't want to become men? There's one reason that comes to my mind that boys don't want to become men is because they don't know any good men. The men that they see are not being men. They're complaining. They're not living life. Maybe they're always sad. They don't know what it is to be a, they don't know what an example of a man is. But I think if us as men start becoming men and celebrating our masculinity and enjoying the things that we're supposed to enjoy, little children are going to look up and say, you know what? That's a man. He's enjoying life. So therefore, I want to become like him. I want to become a man. You see the picture here? It's important to the next generation for them to want to become men. I think it's some of the reason why we have some of, obviously, some of the situations we have. Some of the boys don't even want to be men. They want to become women. I think this is some of the problem. Where are the men? I think we need to celebrate our masculinity. David did. 1 Samuel 17, 34 and 35. And I'm going to read that. You may turn there if you wish. And I'm sure Jason will probably pull it up on the screen. 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 is where I'm going to jump in at. And this was, Samuel 17 here is where David, his dad sent him out with some food and he said, hey, David, go check on your brothers at battle. They're out in battle. He sent some food with them. Go see how they're doing. Okay, so this was David. He's coming to his brothers and he's walking into a battle when he meets his, you know, when he comes to see his brothers. So that's where we're coming in here right now. And he's coming in when Goliath is coming out in verse, so I'm going to hop in verse 34. Okay, this is after, actually maybe I'll go back just a little bit. I'm going to hop in verse 26 just so we get better context of the story. 1 Samuel 17, 26. David asked the men standing near, what will we do with this man who kills a Philistine and removes disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, when I look at this verse, I see David coming in here and he's seeing Goliath down there and he knows who his God is. And he's starting to hear what's going on. I'm seeing this thing within David rising up. The manhood, the warrior, it's rising up, and it's in the proper place to rise up. I think that's where we need to be careful, too. Some places, we need to be like a lamb. But there are other places where that warrior mentality may start rising up and should start rising up, and that's what's happening here. They repeated, verse 27, they repeated to him what they've been saying and told him. This is what will be done to the man who kills him. Verse 28, when Eliab, David's brother, heard him speaking with the men, he was mad at him. It says he burned with anger And he said, why did you come down here? What an encourager. He said, who did you leave your sheep with in the desert? I know that how conceited you are. I know how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now, what have I done? Said David. Can I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. When David said he was overheard and was reported to Saul, Saul came for him. Okay, so this story got out to Saul that David was here. And then here in verse 32, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on the account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. So David sees a problem here. He sees there's a battle. He sees there's something that needs to be fought. And he did not push it on anyone else. His brothers were the warriors. His brothers were trained for battle. Why didn't he tell his oldest brothers, you go get him? No, David says, he sees a problem. He takes initiative. I'm going. I'll do this. I will. He doesn't push blame on anyone else. He doesn't push the responsibility on anyone else. He says, I'm in. David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping the father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came and carried them off from the flock, I went after it. I struck it. I rescued it from the sheep. I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has both killed the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine, when I look at that word uncircumcised, I think that came out of David, his warriorness, his men. That uncircumcised Philistine is going to be just like this one, this bear and this lion. Now, let's look at this lion and this bear story a little bit, okay? Back in the wilderness, or back in the desert when he's a shepherd. Most likely he was by himself. Most likely he was way back in somewhere. I don't know which one came first, but we're going to say the lion came first. Okay? The lion came first. First, before the bear. We don't know. It just says there's a lion came. A lion came and took one of his sheep. Because it says, the scripture says that he took it and started running away with it. David has the guts and the courage to run after a lion with a sheep in its mouth. I don't know how fast a lion ran. David obviously ran faster because he caught up to this thing. And he didn't have a pistol. He didn't have a rifle. He had his hands. That takes courage. I mean, to me, I'm okay with seeing a lion in the zoo. Okay? But if I'd be out and a lion would come, David knew who he was, and we'll talk about that just in a little bit. So David runs after this lion. He grabs the sheep out of its mouth. That's what the Bible says. Not only did he grab the sheep out of its mouth, it says he went after it and he struck it. And it says, when he turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Isn't that amazing? Like, not only did he get the sheep out of its mouth somehow, when the lion turned on him, he grabbed the thing by its hair, and he killed it. You talk about a warrior. You talk about a man. You talk about passion, something that is an adrenaline of driving and killing something. He did that with the lion, and then he did that with the bear as well. So he had those two stories. That's a man. That's a warrior. That's allowing at the proper time adrenaline to rise up within you and doing what needs to be done. Also, that's protecting your sheep. That's being a protector. And when I look at this, I'm like, men, where are we at? How much are we protecting our family, our wives, our homes? Will we have the courage? Do we take the courage to be a protector like David did? That we will simply all outfight the enemy to save someone. what happened here. So, anyway, back into chapter 17. So, David says to Saul, hey, I killed a bear, and I killed a lion, and I know this uncircumcised Philistine, the same thing is going to happen to him. I'll go down and I'll kill him. And so we have that. Reading on down, verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. Check out the confidence that David had. Okay, he doesn't say he might deliver me, or if he wants to, he'll deliver me. No, it says he will deliver me. And I think that was just, again, part of David's confidence in knowing who his God is and what his God will do. It's going to happen. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. I love the blessing that he got from Saul for that. I don't know how much he meant it, but that's what the Bible says. Verse 38, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic. He tried walking around. He said, I can't go in these. He said, I'm not used to them, so he took them off. He took his staff in his hand. He went down. He got 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch in the shepherd's bag with a sling in his hand, and he went and he approached the Philistine. Now, I think it's interesting that David didn't rely on other people's stuff. Saul was going to say, hey, here's armor for you. And David's like, you know what? He tried it. He put it on. It didn't fit. And I look at this, and I see something that I want to learn. I want you to learn as well. Sometimes the things that other people offer, you don't need. Saul offered his armor, but David said, you know what? I'm not going to rely on your stuff. I'm going to rely on what I know works. My slingshot and my God. And when I look at this, with David going down to fight Goliath with a slingshot and with 5 smooth stones, yes, he had the slingshot. Yes, he had 5 smooth stones. But I think the biggest thing for David to be able to walk down there confidently was his relationship with God. He knew who he was. He knew what his God could do. And I think that actually, that relationship is the biggest key in becoming a man after God's own heart, is being in tune with God continually. This is completely separate from the lion and the bear, but it's still the same God. And David was still in tune with that same God. And so walking down into a situation when you're facing a Goliath or facing something very difficult, knowing that you're in touch with God is one of the best things you can do. I think that's what it was for David. It was the best tool. And for us today, there's lots of workshops, there's lots of books, there's lots of podcasts, there's lots of things that we can learn. And I think a lot of that is good. It is good for us to learn from that stuff. But let's not replace it with the Word of God. The connection we have with God is right here. Yes, books may help. Podcasts may help. But I'm talking about being in tune with God. This thing right here. You want to become a man after God's own heart. This is what you need to be reading. The Word of God. It's easy to listen to a lot of podcasts, and some of them are good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not completely throwing that away. What I am saying is we need to prioritize this. to become a man or a woman after God's own heart, this has got to be our priority. Because this is God's word. This is where we find strength. This is where we connect with God. This is powerful. I'm telling you this morning, a lot of you know that. Satan also knows that. He also knows if he can keep you out of this, you'll be less powerful. So where does that warrior part come up within you? Knowing that your enemy doesn't want you in here. Are you just going to say, oh, okay, I don't feel like it today. I'm not going to go in there. Or is that warrior part of you going to rise up and say, you know what? I'm going to spend time in this word. I'm going to study it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to find out God's heart. This is God's heart. Remember, we want to become men and women after God's own heart. Do you know what God wants to do in your situation? I think David was very confident that he knew what God wants to do with Goliath. I think David knew that God wants him defeated. He knew that. He was like, you know what, God, here I am. I'm going to go and we're going to defeat it. But are we so in tune with God that we even know what God wants to do? I think it's important for us to learn some of these things. And how do we do that? You simply ask him if you don't know. Ask him. He'll tell you. It's possible you don't know. If you didn't ask him, you won't know. I don't know what for frame of man David was. You know, I don't know if, obviously he was a small shepherd boy. I don't know if, you know, he was built, if he had a six-pack, if he was, you know, I'm not sure. It doesn't describe him. But I do know this, that David learned that his confidence didn't come from that, from his physical appearance, from doing 50 push-ups a day, from, whatever it is to build himself up, to make him become a man. I think David, he may have done that. I'm not saying that's all wrong. What I am saying, that's not the most important. I think David recognized that. Our culture, our culture is teaching us that, though. And let's be aware of that. Our culture is saying to become a man, to be a man, we need to work out. You want the six-pack. You want to walk around in a, you know, you want to become, you know, a built man. That's what our culture is teaching us. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now, I'm not here saying if you work out and you do push-ups, you write order, that I'm not downing that. I'm just saying if you put your emphasis on that to become a man, you're going down the wrong path. That's what culture says is a man. It's not what God says is a man. Another amazing story, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. In 1 Samuel 22, a lot of us don't even know this story, but this is something that I find is very amazing what David did. In 1 Samuel 22, just several verses in the beginning, verses 1 and 2, it says, David left Gath and he escaped to a cave. He was running away from Saul. Okay, so he went to a cave. He escaped from a cave of Adullam. When his brothers and fathers and his household heard about it, they went down to him. All that were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him. So he's running away and he goes to this cave and look at the guys that come after him. The ones who are in debt, they're discontented. I'm going to call them the down and outers for lack of better terms. They come and show up in this cave. But look what he does with those men. It says, and he became their leader, or he became captain over them. He took these men. He could have said, guys, what the world are you doing? I'm hiding from Saul. I don't have time for you guys. No, he took them, and he became their captain. and he taught them. It says there was about 400 of them. I love that picture of what David did. The warrior that he was, he not only just lived it, but he also taught it. And he trained others as well. He became their captain. I'm going to say specifically for us men here, let's not only just become men, but let's become captains and train up the next generation. David did that. I talked a little bit about David. I didn't talk much about the lion or the lamb part of it, or the lion part of it, but I do want to bring that out again, of both that David had, the lion and the lamb. Jesus was another person that had two parts of him. One was lion, and other was lamb. And we're not going to talk about that this morning. But I do love the picture of looking at Jesus' leadership and how he modeled that. On the cross, he was not a lion. No, he was a lamb. But when Jesus comes back, I don't expect to come him like a meek lamb. He's going to come like a lion. He's going to come. And so I look at that picture, and men, let's grab a hold of that. Let's be lions where we need to be lions, but let's also be lambs where we need to be lambs. It's important for us as men to do that. Let's become men. Because when Jesus comes back, he's coming back as the King of Kings. He's coming back as the Lord of Lords. He's coming back as someone that we're gonna worship. And so I fully expect that to be coming like a lion. It's going to be awesome. So, now, what is the difference between, just in several minutes here in the end, difference between being a child and becoming a man, like Paul talked about? When I was a child, I did things like a child, but then I became a man. To me, it seems to me, Paul is making it very clear, I was a child, but then I became a man. So what does that look like for me? What does that look like for you? I don't think it's going to be the same, but I do believe when we choose, I think it's a choice. We're going to have to choose to become men. Well, that's not going to be our default. So we need to choose to become men. And when we choose to become men, we're going to have a Jordan River. We're going to have a sea that's got to be crossed. That's going to happen. And we need to have the courage to walk through it and become men. And I think we're born as children. We're born as babies. That's who we are. But to become a man is going to take intentionality. It's going to take a choice, number one. And it's going to take the courage to get there. Paul did that. He recognized, I was born as a baby. I was born as a child. When I made that decision that I'm going to be all in for Christ, 110%, knowing who I am in Christ, I'm going to live for Christ, I'm going to die for Christ, I'm going to follow after his righteousness, I'm going to live my life for God no matter what comes, no matter what test. When he made that choice, I think that's the choice that put him on the path to becoming a man. And I think that's the choice that we need to make as well. Men, it's time to become men. And let me tell you this, no one else can do it for you. As much as, if you're in a leadership position or a boss position, you can get some other people to do things for you. This one here, you can't get anyone else to do it for you. I can't do it for you. Your dad can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Becoming a man is something you have to do yourself. And I want you to do it. Your wife needs it. Your family needs it. Our church needs it. Our nation needs it. We need men. We need men. Women, How do you encourage your husband to become a man? Do you want your husband to become a man? I hope after this morning you do. Just several things here that I want to speak to the ladies that I think is going to help your husband become a man. Is just get behind him, encourage him, support him, pray for him, tell him it's okay to be a man. We are different, okay? Men and women are different. The things that a man likes, not all women like. And things that women like, not all men like. So can I ask you ladies something? May us men be men. May we do the things that I'm going to say are manly. Can you allow us to do that? Because when you start cultivating the things, manly things, it starts producing men. And I do think there's also, I want to be careful how I say this, but I do think women do have part of it here to where if you do not let your man become a man, you can become a hindrance to him. So let him be a man. We need him. We really do. Rise up. Rise up. Cross over. Let's go through the Jordan River. Let's go through the sea. And I know my favorite quote, some of you know this. Smooth seas do not make a skillful sailor. You won't get to the other side. If it's just smooth, you're not going to learn anything. Let's become men. We need men. We need to seek God. We need to seek God's heart. I want each one of us here to become men and women after God's own heart. Father in heaven, thank you so much for who you are. I want to thank you that you're our Father. I want to thank you for the strength and the abilities, the courage, the victory that we have through Jesus Christ is amazing. There's so many things we have in Christ. New creatures. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for the things that you want to do through us men. Father, I'm asking this morning that whether we're men or women, whether children here, that we would make the choice that we're going to cross the Jordan River, that we're going to cross the sea, and we're going to become men and women for your glory. Father, use us for your glory. Father, give us more understanding of what you want us to do with the battles that we're facing, of how you want us to win for your glory. Thank you, Father, for your love, your courage. Thank you for each person here. I speak a blessing on each person that's here. Give us the desire, give us the courage to become men and women after your own heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, Dave. I think we have to take